This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not every day you're just seeing billionaires walking up and down the hallways, but that's what's happening with Mark Cuban at Intercom today, joining us here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. What are you doing?
What up, boys? Just hanging out, man. You guys never asked me to be on the show, so I figured I had to troll the heart.
Troy stalks you. We used to go through Cyber Dust.
I dusted you.
Dusted. And then Troy with a text, but I think it was after the Kobe stuff because you were so vocal about that.
That was tough. Yeah, and I really didn't talk to anybody about that.
Yeah.
And then I texted him out of the blue. I want to take my wife to dinner. And I was short.
You know, I shot my shot with Mark. He was my first Shark Tank moment when I moved here about 10 years ago. And you were eating lunch at Village Burger Bar.
Oh, yeah. That's when you and I went. I had the cranberries.
No, it wasn't with you. I was with my mom. She's helping me move all my stuff from Kansas City. Mark's at the bar. And I'm like, I'm going to pay for Mark Cuban's lunch here. And no way you remember this. And I got the waitress, and I'm like, please, I don't know what this place serves, but hopefully it's not too expensive. Right. What is he eating? And you tried to argue with the bartender, but I was able to get it. I was like, this is it. RJ does post-game Mavs, but I'm in. This is my moment. And it went nowhere. So
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. Luka back tonight?
Luka's back tonight. Yeah.
How pumped is he?
He's so ready because he's got to play in this game in order to play in the All-Star game. And so he was gearing this whole time. He's ready, and we're so ready. I mean, we haven't really had our first string lineups together and haven't had any continuity with lineups in a long time. Between Luka being out twice, KP being out, it's been tough to get some continuity. Now we got Willie Cauley. Now Michael Kidd-Gilchrist just signed yesterday. So we're going to start getting our rotations down. And hopefully, come back the All-Star game, we'll get some momentum and really make things happen.
When you first saw that injury, were you skeptical that it was going to be back in a couple of games? Or were you initially like, whoa?
Well, I was just worried because it was the second time. But, you know, like anybody who's sprained their ankles, once you sprain it once, there's a good chance you're going to sprain it again, you know. And so he'll be wearing a little brace on it. He's used to it now from the practices. So he'll be fine, you know, and he's 20. And, you know, we'll see how he feels over the summer, but I don't expect it to be a recurring problem.
How much of an extra, or I know you don't interact every day and bug the coaches and everything, but you're going to sit down and look him in the eye and say, hey, don't do this just for the All-Star break. I know you want to play. Good to go?
Oh, no, he's good to go. Because, the trainers aren't stupid, right?
Yeah, Casey.
You don't mess with the meal ticket. Just like we did the same thing with Dirk, right? You don't mess with the meal ticket.
So Porzingis has been crushing it with Luka out.
Yeah.
So how do you guys do that with both of them together? Why is he doing it number one? And then how is Rick going to bring them both together?
Well, he's gotten more shots, obviously. And he's gotten more comfortable shooting threes because that's where he's done the most damage. Where KP is unstoppable is on the trail threes, right? And then because we send guys to the offensive boards, KP's really good at that. And so he finds the spaces, and him and Dodo go after those offensive putbacks. And once he gets up there, it's tough to stop him. And so with Luka back, you know, I think pre-injury, I think KP was still a little hesitant. He talked about not being used to taking 10 threes in a game. He's gotten used to it.
Yeah.
And so I think that'll open things up even more. And by having him there, you know, those driving lanes will be there for Luka, because that's really what we've missed, somebody who's just getting to the rim easily. Jalen Brunson tries hard, right, but he's not as big and strong as Luka.
You know, Kobe said that Phil Jackson used to tick him off because he'd be like, you can get yours anytime. Shaq has to be engaged for us to win it all. Does Luka have to do a little bit more of that?
Absolutely, and that's a conversation we had. You know, I told him, you know, you got to set up your guys for their Steve Kerr moments. You know, you've got to get them involved and – you know, make it so that come the fourth quarter, not just of a regular season game, but in a playoff game, they're used to looking for the ball and you're used to looking for them because they're going to be open because everybody's going to be looking at you. But you got to remember, Luka's only played a year and a half of NBA basketball.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we expect him to have that court awareness and game management experience like someone who's been in the league 10 years, and it takes time. But he's learning. There's things he's doing a lot better this year than last year, and next year he'll be even better.
But isn't there a fine line? Because you don't want him to become gun shy, right?
Oh, trust me. There's no gun shy in Luka, no matter what. I mean, if he's going to have a layup, like there was a game last time we played Sacramento, actually, where he didn't take a three in the second half. And he knew his threes weren't falling, the other guys were, and so he set everybody else up. And so when he's rolling, he'll jack it up. I mean, he's not going to ever be gun shy. If the shot's not falling, I think he's learning to get other guys involved.
Mark Cuban, Facebook Live on The Fan. What has surprised you the most about your team this year?
Our depth, the way our role players have gotten better and better and better. We knew they'd get better, but they've gotten even better than we expected.
Yeah.
And so that's been really good. Maxi and Dodo, and they'll continue to get better. They're not at their peaks yet.
Before the year started, I think there was a chance for you guys to sneak up on teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone now.
Oh, no, we can't sneak up on anybody.
How's that changed the dynamic of the team?
Teams look at us as a good team, right? Yeah. And that they've got to play their best basketball in order to beat us. You saw that with the Lakers. We destroyed them the first game. The Rockets, we destroyed them. And the next couple games were tough for us. But again, I think, you know, we still haven't played our best basketball because of the injuries. Losing Dwight Powell was a big blow for us. You know, now we've got two new guys we've got to integrate. Luka coming back, KP, you know, everybody getting their minutes straight and their role straight. But, you know, it's like any other Mavs team when we were making runs, right? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And so we had a great start. We've been middling since then with the injuries. Now post All-Star break, those 25 or whatever games, if we can get a good run going to end the season, going into the playoffs, there, you know, everybody on that team believes they can beat anybody. There's nobody like if we get matched up, we're thinking, oh, we can't beat this team at all.
How did you view the deadline?
We tried. We came really, really close on a couple deals.
Like a big piece?
Yeah, two really big pieces. But
names, drop names.
Nah, I can't. But that's why people will do deals with us, because we don't drop names. Yeah. You know? But they were both three-team deals. And in one case was a trade and extend, and we couldn't get the player to agree on terms. And the other piece, one of the teams just decided they didn't want to trade a key guy to make it happen.
When you have a team like 07, you're the one seed, 6-7. It's a winner. It's a winner. It's a failure.
Right.
How do you view this outcome?
Like, I see us able to. We've got to hopefully get home court advantage. That's one win, right? To show that we've finished the season well. Because we're only a couple games back of the third and fourth spot. And then second would be winning a playoff round. You know, trust me, I know as well as anybody, we haven't won a playoff round since the championship season. And so, you know, that's our goal. And then from there, we hope to build on that and see what happens.
Mark Cuban here on The Fan. I think we played your interview all last week from Barstool. Because I love hearing you talk about different leagues and the success. And we're ratings guys.
Uh-huh.
He's more of a diehard baseball. I'm basketball. But we know that there's ratings. There's been rating stories with issues with both.
Yeah.
So where are things with the NBA and our new school younger audience with the streaming services and all that stuff? And then we'll take it over maybe to baseball, how you view that.
I mean, the NBA is as popular as it's ever been with kids, period, end of story. And you see that, you know, the biggest and most connected accounts, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or Snapchat, are all NBA or NBA players. No question about it. You don't see that with baseball. You don't see that with football. You don't see that with hockey. Kids are watching Dunkademics, Ball is Life. You know who Zion Williamson was before he got to Duke, and you knew by the time he got to the NBA, he was already a brand. Even John Morant coming from Western Kentucky. You couldn't name the top three Major League Baseball draft picks or anything that's going on with them in high school and college.
Right.
You couldn't do that with hockey. You know, with the NFL, you know, I mean, who's the Louisiana, the LSU quarterback?
Burrow.
Yeah, I met him over Super Bowl week. He came up and introduced himself. I didn't recognize him, right? He had to introduce himself. You don't have that problem with NBA players. We have such strong social media followings that we connect, right? Now, that's the good news. The bad news is those same people aren't people buying cable television. They're not buying satellite television, so they're not watching full games. My 10-year-old, like, he'll turn it the minute the game's over. He's turning on YouTube and the highlights are already there. He's on Instagram and the highlights are already there. And that's how he's keeping up. So he's diehard. His friends are diehard Mavs and NBA fans. They're playing 2K. They know all the players. They're just not turning on the games. And so if you look, our average age on our telecasters getting older, but it's still younger than the NFL, a lot younger than baseball, and about the same as hockey.
It's like, it's, I think the game too, like I find I'm doing work at home and the game's on and I'll look at my computer and I'll look up and I've missed 5 minutes of action.
Yeah.
And it's the pace like that keeps you, but
it's hard, right? So like you watch a football game and it gets the best ratings. There's 12 minutes of action.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really watching football for 2.5 hours. You're doing whatever else. You're eating, you're doing emails, you're, you know, playing video games, whatever it is. And then you're turning back and seeing what's going on in the game. You can do that with football. That makes it easy to watch. With basketball, there's always action. With hockey, there's always action. Baseball, not so much.
How do you view baseball? When you were trying to get ownership, were you a huge fan?
Yeah, I mean, I was a better baseball player than basketball player growing up. And so I've always been into baseball. I grew up with the Pittsburgh Pirates, huge fan, mm-hmm. you know. But baseball has been poorly run. There's no other way to put it. They haven't kept up with the times. They're all tradition, and nothing has changed. And you look at the NBA, like when I got in, it was all tradition. It cost me a lot of money, but me and others have just banged on the sport to really to become current, and to David Stern's credit, to become global. You didn't see that with baseball. They wanted to keep me out. They didn't want me to be an owner. They don't want things to change. And now, you know, put aside the Astros stuff, there are new proposals from the commissioner about picking your own playoff opponent and stuff like that. It's just like, come on, man.
Too gimmicky.
Yeah. The best thing that's going to happen for baseball is gambling. Yeah. Because you can place bets
every day,
every minute, every pitch, right? and so that gives them some hope. But
they won't get on board with that for 20 more years.
I mean, if they don't, they're in trouble. Yeah. They're in trouble. Like I did an interview with, the pitcher for the Yankees that just retired.
CC?
Yeah, CC Sabathia, Yano's podcast, right? And he's like, Mark, what would you do? I'm like, no throwing the ball around the horn. You got to speed it up, right?
Yeah.
Like, baseball is the only sport when you bring somebody on the field, they get to warm up. When you substitute in basketball, in football, there's no warm up. Let me get some shots up before I sub in.
Yeah.
No, right? There should be, you get one pitch, right? You're a relief pitcher, you get one pitch. Game starts, right? You get an out, there's no throwing the ball, you go right to it, you throw the pitch, right? There's a shot clock now in between innings, right, to speed things up, but that's not enough. It's just got to be continuous action, and baseball can be, but...
And you've always said, and you guys are number two in attendance, at least listed on ESPN,
yeah.
You always said, and I always try to wrap my head around it, that people are going to the AAC for the experience and not necessarily the
for
teams.
For basketball, right.
Your game presentation... From the moment you got there,
it's changed.
Completely changed.
Yeah, we changed. All the NBA changed. I mean, because
for CA, you should get rid of CA. Got you down. Yeah. King Chris.
In some cases, I'm a traditionalist.
King
you know?
Chris.
RCA. But
how would you do that for baseball?
Well, it's the same thing. Like, think of the last baseball game you went to. You remember how many beers you had. You remember what you ate. You remember what the weather was. You remember who you were with. You don't remember a damn thing about the game.
Yeah.
You know,
Rangers win.
Right.
Maybe you remember who they played.
Right.
Right. Who pitched that day?
Mm-hmm.
What was the score? Right. And basketball, pretty much the same thing. Football, the same thing. You know, who was the lead? You know, you could guess, right? But do you remember that one run from Zeke or that one pass from Dak? No. You remember what you ate?
Yeah.
Right. Remember who you saw, who you're with? Remember the first game with your dad, your mom, your aunt, your uncle, your girlfriend, your guys? You know, you remember the drunkest guy with any game you've ever gone to. Right, but you don't remember a jump shot or a dunk. You remember the experience. And so when I got there, I had to convince everybody that we don't sell basketball, particularly in arena, we sell experience. Now for television, we're going to have to change it all up too, because television has changed. You know, kids are trained by Twitch. You know, they'll watch a League of Legends match the whole way through, no matter how long it takes, because they're paying attention. Now, it's not as big in the U.S. as it is globally, but the way they announce, that's how kids are getting trained. Right. They'll watch kids, you know, talking about playing Fortnite, you know, forever to learn what's going on. That's how they're being trained to watch games. We're going to do a lot of those things, because with the NBA, with television, the way it is, and television is still the best way to watch a game. You know, even if you're streaming through NBA League Pass onto your TV, it's still going to buffer. It's still slower. It's still behind. Whereas TV is the most current. We're going to try, so we'll have multiple streams of a game. So you might have Derek Harper and Mark Folliwell doing one version of the game. You might have two Twitch type kids doing another version. You might have, you know, who knows, 10 different languages doing another because you don't have to worry about bandwidth anymore.
Did you go to the Bobby Knight game?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I mean, for somebody who went to IU, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You made a special trip for that.
Yeah, just for that. Flew in the night before and stayed, or flew in the morning of and then stayed.
Went to Dairy Queen.
Did go to Dairy Queen. Yeah. That was the day before.
With Jimmy?
No, that was with Warren. Warren Buffett.
Oh, Warren. Jimmy. Yeah, I got my Buffett's friends mixed up.
All the parent heads were out there. They were getting cheeseburgers.
It's pretty funny, though, right? Warren's a good dude. I mean, Warren's funny as hell. And so every year we go and have Dairy Queen up in Omaha or around Omaha. But going back to IU, it was incredible because Bobby's had some health challenges. And so, you know, who knows how much longer he's got. And just to see him get back and reengage and have the fans, you know, who hadn't seen him in 30 years appreciate him, and kids who didn't, half of them probably didn't even know who he was, right, really respect and appreciate him was special.
Did you view Bobby, we differ on this, he likes the old school, and I was like, he was a bully. Where did you fall on that?
You know, when I was in school, I got there, I was bookend by championships, and so they'd won right the year before I got there, and they had four guys who were NBA draft picks, first round picks, and didn't do all that well. So I'm like, how good a coach can Bobby be, right? But then over time, you know, to be able to win, and he was a guy who didn't cheat, right? To be able to get players in and get them to win, and get them to play hard, get them to graduate, right? That's what made Bobby special. His players just loved him, and that says everything.
All right, we'll let you go with this. When you were in the Dairy Queen with Warren.
Warren.
Not Jimmy. But Jimmy talked about, I mean, Warren talked about Jimmy because his sister, they're related somehow. So here's a Warren Buffett story that you're not going to hear anywhere else. There is an island somewhere, not the Falklands. I don't even remember the name of it, but there's an island where the name Buffett came from, right? And like 70% of the people who live on this island are named Buffett, and some of them left, and Jimmy and Warren are related, and they found out they were related because they're both their ancestors.
Wow.
Go back to this
island. What?
Yeah, that's what I said. Warren Buffett, like, he'll start telling these stories. You know, it'll be like, yeah, Mark, I remember in 1947, I was
1947.
Who's the billionaire? Because everyone, you know, t-shirt jeans guy, both you down to earth regular guys. Is there another rich
guy like that?
Billionaire guy like that?
I don't know.
Were you surprised? Like, whoa, this guy's chill.
It's not like there's a billionaires club and we hang out, yeah, right? You
know? More now like than ever.
Yeah, it's not like, oh shit, that guy. Oh, sorry.
What are you doing? This last question. What are you doing diet-wise? What the heck?
Oh, what the heck? So like,
I know you didn't drink that Blizzard in the Dairy Queen.
No, you know what? I had it. Okay, so here's what I do. I use this app called MyFitnessPal, and I write down everything I eat and all the calories from it. So I get a large caramel Heath Blizzard. I'm like, oh, I'm going to pay for this, right? And it's 1,700 calories. And so I've got to mark that in, you know, which means my total calories for the days are going up. And so I'm going to go, like, from here, I'm going to go play basketball down at Lifetime. And then when I get to the Mavs, I'll shoot, and then I'll do the Stairmaster. But I also got into Peloton. So I'm just cranking it out, man. It's like,
not different diet?
Not well, I went vegetarian.
Oh.
Yeah, I went vegetarian, and that really didn't change a lot. I feel better, but I just get this routine, right? My list is healthy cookies in the morning. I have coconut water, da-da-da-da-da. But then I eat stuff I like, you know? I don't feel like I'm starving or scrimping. And I'm not like, okay, I got to lose 5 pounds in 5 weeks. It's just like, because I track my calories, if I burn more than I take in, even if it's only 100 a day, right? It might take me 2 months to lose 2 pounds, but that's okay. And if I keep it up, which I have been, like, I've put in, like, I'm at 1,000 days in a row, more than 1,000 days in a row of tracking my calories on that app. And you can look me up. I think I'm Mark Cuban on MyFitnessPal. So if you download it, you can follow me on there and you can see exactly what I eat and what my workouts are.
How much weight have you lost?
Probably 20. Yeah.
Mark Cuban. Nice. When do you go to sleep and wake up? How many hours of sleep you get?
Go to sleep about 11:30, wake up about 6:15 or so.
Okay.
Yeah. Not bad.
Almost 7 hours.
Yeah, 7, 8.
More than we get.
You guys got it.
That's what we're doing.
Hey, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Mavs tonight.
Yes, sir.
Shark Tank's moving.
Shark Tank's moving to Friday nights on ABC.
Screw you, man.
Yeah, February 28th, man. Mavs on Fox Sports Southwest. A few tickets left. Mavs.com or walk up to the box office.
Mark Cuban, hit him up on TikTok.
Yes, sir. M. Cuban.
There he is.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.